Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Hi, everybody. What a great turnout. I'm just going to say a few things because I think you came to hear her. Okay. And you all probably all know a great deal about her already. I want to welcome everybody to the Tattered Cover. We're so glad you came to support the store and especially to support Kim this evening with her new book, A Perfect Blood. It's such a great turnout. One of the comments, things that I'd read about her was that her fans are voracious. So that's good. Kim grew up in the Midwest with a squad of brothers and began writing at 15. She still avoided English classes, which is very great, and graduated with a BS in sciences. She moved to South Carolina, and she lived in Michigan, I believe, and now she's moved back to Michigan, somewhere she enjoys the snow, and I'm betting the cider mills. You missed the... she's currently developing a young adult series, I believe, and so we'll have more to look forward to. So let's welcome her and hear what's really happening that's important. Okay.
Hello, hello. Oh my gosh. You have no idea how long I have been trying to get out to Denver. Seriously, I don't say that to every store I go to, but yeah, I've been trying to get to Denver for a long time. So I have a feeling I've got a virgin crowd here. Who's been to one of my events before? One person. Okay, we are going to have fun tonight. What I usually like to do is read a page from the book and then go right to Q&A. But in between, after Q&A, we'll go to the signing. And what I'm going to do, this is the bunny cam. This, I don't know if you've heard about the bunny cam, but this is where all the photos that show up on my website come from. So I will send it down through the signing line because, you know, while I'm up here working, my hand is getting tired and my throat is getting sore. You guys are back there having fun talking hollows with new people, and I don't get to see any of it. So I'm going to pass the camera down the line, take pictures of you, the floor, the ceiling. I don't care what. Just show me that you're there. There's a video feature on it. You push it once to start it, and then once more to stop it, and that stopping part is important because otherwise I get pictures of this, and that won't go online. If I don't get to your question on Q&A, you can take a video of it, and I will put it online, and I will answer it there. Okay, now, hold on a second. I didn't have to do this last year. I am going to grab Christy's book and turn to page 268 if you'd like to follow along. Yes, 268. We are like more than halfway through the book here. It is really hard to find a page or two that has a lot of dialogue, that's kind of exciting, and doesn't have any spoilers in it that I can read to you guys. This one I picked out does have a teeny tiny spoiler at the end, but it won't ruin your enjoyment of the book. By this point, like I said, we're a little more than halfway through, and Rachel's pretty well beat up by this point. She is actually in a wheelchair. She's in a wheelchair. And she's also in an elevator with Trent. And we all know Rachel and her elevator fetish. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to read this part to you. The other is that Rachel finally comes out and tells Trent why she doesn't like him. Okay, so I'm way down on the bottom. She's in a wheelchair, and Trent is standing beside her. His grip tightened on my crutch. "Why are you always angry with me?" he said. I looked up at him, aching everywhere, frustrated that I hadn't been able to stop what they'd done to Winona, embarrassed that I had to show my weakness in front of him by sitting down, angry with everything. "You want the short list or the long one?" "I'm tired of it," he said calmly, but the rims of his ears were red and his motions to prop the crutch in a corner were too fast. "Ever since camp, you've been picking at me and my ideas." "Picking at him?" "You are the one doing stuff to irritate me," I said, heart pounding. "Shall I start with today and go backward? You hit me with a pain charm." "You got in the way. I apologized for that," he interrupted, his green eyes squinting. "You put me in a cage, made me fight for my life in the rat fights." He smacked a button on the panel, and the lift eased to a jerky halt. In the distance, a faint buzzer sounded. "Your life was never in danger, and I apologized for that, too." His eyes were virulent, and something in me liked it. "You hunted me like an animal," I said, his anger fueling my own. Smelling of ozone and broken trees, Trent leaned over me, his hands on the arm of the chair and his suit coat open to show his trim waist. "You broke into my desk," he said tightly. "You stole something that could put me and my entire species in the ground. You think I'm going to ignore that? I wouldn't hurt you now." The chair shook as he pushed himself up and away again, standing with a fist on his hip and his stance tight. Fine, I could write that one off, but it was easy to come up with things about Trent that irritated me. "You kill people," I said, coming out with what really bothered me. "All the time. I hate it." "And you can't." His voice was mocking, ticking me off as he turned to face me. "Someday you'll thank me for that particular skill. I'm not proud of that ability, but I'm glad I have it, and you're alive because of it. I'm not asking for gratitude, but stop rubbing my nose in the ugly things I do to help you that you are afraid to do yourself." Oh my God, he thought the ability to kill people was a skill? "You murder your own associates," I shouted, my stomach clenching as I leaned forward in the chair and gestured wildly. "Jonathan practically raised you, and you ran him down under a pack of dogs like a common thief. Ivy and Jinx kill people too, but never those who trust them." Jonathan isn't dead. And I'm going to end it right there. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to see if this will come all the way around. And it does. Okay, it's not going to squeal or anything, right? Okay, good. Yeah. Yes, I will. Thank you. Okay. My favorite part is the Q and the A. Nothing? There's one, yes. Okay, the bunny-eared kiss. That's it. Yep. Mm-hmm. That was easy. Yes. Jinx's quotes. Jinx's quotes come from a variety of places. Some of them from this guy here. But mostly they are my snarky nature coming out. Yes, my snarky nature I try to keep hold of. I make a New Year's resolution every year to be nice. Look at him laughing. To be nice to people. It lasts about a week, and I get snarky, and then it's like, oh, well. But yes. Way in the back, yes. What's with me and Clint Eastwood? What's not to like? There's a couple of reasons. One is it's a good marketing tool as far as the titles are recognizable. I've had people say, I picked it up because I recognized the title. And that's exactly what you want a good title to do, is to get you to pick it up and turn it over. Another reason is that I really like the characters that Clint Eastwood plays. Especially the westerns, where you've got the guy coming in off the prairie, able to solve the town's problems in a just way, but not necessarily a legal way. That's kind of what I think about for Rachel. If Clint Eastwood had a pixie instead of a horse, and that's a bad visual, but you know what I mean. In the Black, yes. Captain Eden, yes, he is. I introduced Eden as my contact for the FIB, or before I introduced Glenn. Glenn was really interesting for a while. Glenn is kind of moving off a little bit for the next couple books, and we will see Eden kind of slip into that place again. Yeah, it's time for a more mature, angry kind of FIB guy who can get things done and cut through the red tape. So we will see more of him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got that wrong. Let me see. How tall is Rachel? Well, it depends what book you look at. I think she's 5'8". Yeah, she is 5'8". I don't know how that 5'4 got through there. I think I was channeling her because I'm 5'4", and Rachel is taller than me. It happens. There's a big boo-boo there's a big boo-boo in this one. I'm sure there's more than one, but I'll see if anybody calls me on it tonight. Yes. When I find mistakes in the book, sometimes I will ask my editor to go and change it. Sometimes I like to leave it there just because, like the thing with the mink. I had a lot of people call and tell me, minks are not rodents. Well, I know that. But when I first wrote it, she didn't turn into a mink. She turned into a rat. And then at the last minute, my editor said, rats aren't really, people can't relate to rats. So I said, okay, I'll make her a mink. And some of the rodent references didn't get pulled out. And so I occasionally do get calls on it, emails on it. I think my editor has gone and changed it because I haven't gotten any recently. But I didn't ask her to do it, because when people call you on mistakes, you kind of know right where they're coming from. Right then. And that's, I kind of like knowing that. Yes, in the back. Where do I think Kiesley went? We are nearing the end of the series. Don't panic. It's 12 or 13 books, okay? My choice, whether it's 12 or 13. We're on book 10. We're okay. But because I am coming to a close, I have to be very careful of who I'm putting in the books. I like writing with a very sparse character list. There's usually only about 20, maybe less, characters per book that are really important. And Kiesley, unfortunately, is not going to help me close any threads. We may see him kind of in a cameo kind of thing. But unless there's a way that he can come into the story and add something solid to it, we won't see him. I think he got spooked when Rachel figured out who he was. And Ciri had moved off to Trent's. And so I think he just kind of vanished. That was a really long explanation, but there you go. Yes.
Why did you kill off Kiss?
That was out loud, wasn't it? I'm sorry. Can I just say I'm sorry? The really short answer to that is, I did not expect this series to go any longer than 6 books. And the story arc was coming to a close, and I got 3 more books, and it was either the books end or Kiston dies. And I was not ready to let go of Rachel yet. The reason he had to go was because he was Rachel's happy ending. He was my original happy ending for her. And when my character finds her happy ending, the story is over for me. There's just nothing left to write. The story might go on, but it's all happy. And, you know, that's not fun. So I had to make the decision. I could have sent him off to, like, vampire camp. I could have killed him once and had him come back, but I wanted his leaving to affect Rachel and help her grow up a little bit more. And so that is why we've lost Kisten. But now, if we hadn't lost Kisten, we wouldn't have this interesting opportunity now with other characters. So, you know, maybe things happen. Way in the back, yes. Why does nobody see Jinx when he glows? I think most people see what they want to see, and his glow is, it doesn't last forever. As soon as his wings stop, in a few seconds, the dust that he's, you know, have sifted down kind of evaporates and is gone. And he likes to hang out, you know, in where people can't really see him. I think he does get seen a little bit, but he's a pixie. Nobody's expecting a pixie to be a part of anything important, and so they don't see him. Okay, yes, in the pink.
When is Rachel Morgan's series coming to CW?
Thank you for bringing that up. For those of you who don't know, The Hollows has been picked up by CW.
Yay!
Thank you. The Happy Author Dance. I don't know a whole lot right now, but I will tell you what I do know. I will know more in June, so keep an eye on the Drama Box and Facebook page coming around June. CW is very slow, usually, in releasing what they're doing, and The Hollows is no exception for that. What I do know is that the pilot is being written by Jordan Hawley. He's the guy that did Smallsville, so we have some good talent behind it. They are aiming for the 2012-2013 season. Which is, yes, very fast. That's why I will know in June. But it's Hollywood, and it's like, squirrel, oh, shiny squirrel. This could fall down and break at any point, but CW seems to feel very strong about it, and I feel good about it, and when I start to find out how they're going to handle it, I will be letting you guys know. Okay, way in the back, yes.
Do you have any plans to show us how the international community has reacted to Angerlander?
Okay, the question is, will I have the opportunity to show how the rest of the world outside of the U.S. is reacting to Inlanders? The only thing I think I've said so far is that leprechauns have really increased their numbers in Ireland. I really haven't said anything more than that. There really isn't a whole lot left outside of the U.S. England is there. London's there. The third world countries are pretty much abandoned. I don't know what happened over in Asia, and I probably don't. If there's no reason for me to bring it up, I won't. Like I said, I'm trying to close it down. Maybe a short story at some point, but probably not. You sound like my editor. Okay, anyone over here? Yes, on the steps.
Hi, I was wondering, do you have any idea how it's going to end, or are you kind of just going as...
Okay, the question is, do I know how it's going to end? Yes and no. I have written book 11. I chickened out on writing book 12, and I wrote something else in my 3 or 4 months that I had to write the last Hollows book. So I don't know exactly how it ends. I have a scene in my head that I have had there for the last 5 years for the last chapter. We'll get there. Now, who is with her at the time? I do not know. I have ideas, but things happen. I didn't know, like, for example, Kisten. I didn't know he was going to die until the editorial rewrite. I didn't know Siri was even there until the rough draft, and she jumped up behind the tombstone, and I had to throw out all my outlines and start over again to include her. So big changes will can and will happen at any stage of the game. I usually do not know what's going to happen in any book until I sit down to plot it out. So I will, you know, last year I stood in front of everybody and said, I will know this time next year. No, I don't. Yeah.
So does that mean that it could end up being more than 12?
Okay. More than 12 or 13? No, because I would like to end the series. I have a burning idea that I need to get out, and Rachel wants her happy ending. And if I don't give it to her, I have a feeling that something bad is going to happen. So, 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Nick. Nick was actually in A Perfect Blood. He was in there, and he was the character of Evloy. And it's not a huge spoiler. Don't worry about it if you haven't read it yet. When I took him out, of course, I made Eloy his own person, and you don't see any traces of Nick in him. At least I hope you don't. We will see Nick again. Yes. Yes, we will see him again. He needs his comeuppance. Yes. Yes. And he will get it. I'd like to see him pushing that, ice. No. I want to see him pushing a push cart of ice in the Ever After as a demon slave, but... I have written the next book, and yeah. Now, there was another question over here, I think. Yes.
How much of you is in Rachel or any of the other characters?
How much of me is in Rachel or any other characters? Okay, well, there's a little bit of Ivy in me. Not as much as you might think. We both don't like bullies. We both will step outside of our comfort zone to confront a bully, and we surprise ourselves quite often. Like I said, I'm trying to be nicer to people. We both are very determined, which is something you have got to have if you want to find publication, because it's not always skill. Sometimes it's determination that gets you there. I would never live in a church with a vampire and solve paranormal crimes. I would much rather sit in my nice, comfortable office and write about them. I do Myers-Briggs tests on quite a few of my major characters. They're personality tests, if you haven't heard about them. And the character I am most like is not Rachel, which is kind of interesting. So I like to tell people that I swear like Jinx, and I plot like Ivy, and I live my life like Rachel, which is full bore and full steam ahead. So I think every author takes their personality and throws it into some of their characters, and they also look around them to the people they know and pull bits and pieces out and lump them all together into new people. Hey, we're not bringing up Al here. No, we're not. Okay, yes.
Do you have any idea when the 11th book is going to be out?
Okay, the question is, when is the 11th book going to be out? We are on a one book a year schedule, which we have been for a while. I really like the last Tuesday in February. That has been my release date for at least four or five books, and I like it. I come out with Nora. Oh, yeah. And you haven't heard it yet, but A Perfect Blood will be number 2 on the New York Times list this next week. But I got Nora's back. You can't beat Nora Roberts. You really can't. But I got her back. Where was I going with this? Oh, okay, so a book a year. I also have the second graphic novel coming out in December, Blood Crime. And I will have a Hollows anthology coming out in October of this year, which is going to be all the Hollows shorts and novellas that have been previously published, plus a brand new one with Trent and Jinx going out to rescue Lucy, plus about... Oh, I don't know, 200 more manuscript pages of other shorts and novellas that I've developed. Just to have fun and give you guys something new to look at. They're not Hollows related. They're something completely different. So it'll be a mix. It's kind of, it's like 600 manuscript pages. They're going to have to make little print, I think, to get this guy. It's called Into the Woods, and it is actually, it just popped up on Amazon for pre-order. Yes. We're doing good on time, aren't we? Okay, excellent. On the stairway, please. Okay, the question is, do I know what's coming after the Hollows? Yes, and probably. Like I said earlier, I was supposed to write the 12th Hollows book, and I didn't. I chickened out, and I wrote something else, which I have not shared with my editor yet. I've dropped tantalizing hints to her about first person and female protagonist and urban fantasy. This character, her name is Perry. She's a little bit older. She's a little more mature. She has different set of problems that she's dealing with. And I'm hoping, I'm really excited about this. This is my husband, Tim. He's reading it right now. And that's his job. He's supposed to say that. But my editor hasn't seen it yet, so, you know, all things can change, but I am very excited about it. And now that I know where I'm going after the Hollows, I can turn all my energies into finishing up the Hollows itself and end it the way I want to, full throttle, no holds barred. It's going to be a ride.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes, the question is Daryl. She appears in A Perfect Blood. She's kind of, she just kind of ghosts onto the pages with no real introduction. She was introduced in Leyline Drifter, which is a novella in the anthology Unbound. I introduced her this way because she's not going to be a major player, and time does pass between the books, and I thought it would be more realistic to introduce her that way as kind of an, oh, by the way, kind of thing, rather than, hi, how are you? Because it's been months, and I thought that would be odd to have, you know, a handshake greeting between these people when they've known each other for at least 3 or 4 months. So, yes, they are the same person. Mm-hmm. In the black.
Will Ivy get her happy ending?
Okay. The question is happy endings. Ivy, I want her to have her happy ending. Yes, I want Ivy to have a happy ending. I want Trent to have a happy ending, which is evolving for some weird reason. Rachel needs her happy ending. I want Al to have a happy ending. I think Newt's going to have a happy ending. I mean, I love my happy endings. Having said that, my happy endings might not be the same as everybody else's. My happy endings are when the characters have what they need to go forth in life and meet the challenges. That there will be challenges, but that they have everything they need. And Rachel sort of has had that for a long time. So her happy ending is finally realizing it. 2 more questions? Oh, okay. Anybody I haven't hit yet in the red?
The Milk Duds.
Okay. The significance of the Milk Duds. That's from Pale Demon. The Milk Duds kept showing up. Well, we actually took a ride. My husband, myself, and my youngest son, we went down to Cincinnati and we drove what Rachel did. It was a lot of fun. Yes, it was. We had a lot of fun. And our youngest son has a tendency to, you know, we stop for gas and he'll, you know, drift into the gas station and he'll come back out. And then, you know, we stop again and we find these boxes of candy and wrappers. It's like, no wonder you're not hungry. You've been eating for the last 300 miles. So I thought it would be fun to just have the mysterious Milk Duds show up. Oh, okay. Last one right there. The blue chrysalis, yes. Yes, the blue chrysalis. When the blue butterflies showed up and Al just kind of casually brushed them off, I thought, oh my gosh, he loved somebody once. And when he gave the chrysalis to Rachel, it was like, oh my gosh, he's got to have his happy ending. And it's tied with that chrysalis. It's the chrysalis is kind of like his hope chest, if you'll forgive me. And I would really like to see it hatch and find out what happens. I hate dream sequences, but we keep seeing them in Al's dreams. And yes, I would really like to see what happens with those blue butterflies. So thank you, everybody.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fote, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.